Hey, Dutch Sheets here, and I want to encourage you today to believe with me that God is not finished with America. I've never been more convinced that we are moving toward a great revival in this nation and around the world. And I have great hope for that and faith. I feel like God has given me that assurance, and I'm very confident of it. And all of the prophetic words that I hear, and well, most all of them, everyone I run with and really trust, is saying that they believe the same thing. The dreams that are coming to many of us are very encouraging. Obviously, when we receive a word from the Lord and a dream we do have to pray. God's will is always contingent upon what we, the church, do to cooperate with Him, to pray and seek His face, etc. But God never has required a majority of people to be doing that in order for Him to move. He has always been willing to move through the prayers of a remnant. And there certainly is a remnant of people in this nation that is praying and that have been praying. So I'm confident that we're going to see this revival. And I'm confident that this nation will recapture her destiny. Let me tell you about a recent prayer journey I made to D.C. I've been there many, many times to pray, sometimes with a group, sometimes at times I've gone by myself just to pray. This particular prayer journey that I just was a part of was with a small group. It began with a dream God gave to my friend Ken Malone. He says, I awakened from a dream on July 22nd, 2020, around 3 a.m. to the sound of a thunderstorm just off the shore in the Atlantic Ocean. I'm certain, by the way, that this storm was prophetic also. America is in a storm, and I'm certain that it's not a coincidence God gave him this dream during a storm and woke him up to the storm. But he says, in the dream, one of my spiritual daughters was working in the cafeteria of the Supreme Court when one of the justices approached her and made a request. He said, tell Ken Malone our positions are being overrun and I need his help. Ken's daughter related the request to him in the dream, and he responded to her a very interesting response. He said to her, damn the torpedoes, tell him we're coming. What a strange phrase. Damn the torpedoes was a phrase used by a Union admiral named David Farragut during the Civil War, the Battle of Mobile Bay, on August the 5th, 1864. The statement, of course, was made in reference to the fierceness of the battle and to Farragut's determined refusal not to retreat. The ensuing Union victory was very significant in winning the war and also was a great boost in Abraham Lincoln's bid for re-election 3 months later. And so in history, the phrase was basically saying, no matter the resistance, we're not going to stop. And so, you know, we just assume maybe that response in the dream was saying to us, regardless of any obstacles, schedule, or COVID, whatever the case may be, we need to do this. Because Ken's response was, damn the torpedoes, tell him we're coming. But as you're going to see in just a few minutes here, the Lord had a different twist on these words, which he showed us once we were there praying. But in response to the dream, Ken, myself, three other intercessors, we immediately planned a prayer journey to go there a week after the dream, which happened to be the anniversary of this battle and this statement made by this Admiral David Farragut. We planned the trip for August 4th and 5th. Remember, he made the statement August 5th, 1864. So it would be on the anniversary. Prayer times ended up being incredibly strategic, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to us some instruction and confirmations before we even arrived. While en route to D.C., one of my dear friends sent me a very enlightening text, and he says in the text, "It is no coincidence that you're arriving in D.C. the same day as Hurricane Isaias. The name means Yahweh is our salvation." Then he said, "You will release Yahweh's salvation in D.C. Well, I thought that was interesting. I felt actually a real witness from the Holy Spirit when I read that, it's not a coincidence that you guys are going on the very same day that this hurricane is going. And then just before my plane departed for D.C., my arrival time into D.C. was adjusted back from 2:29 p.m. to 2:22 p.m. Well, a lot of you probably know, if you've read my books or heard me speak, that the number 22 is very significant to me. It always speaks to me of Isaiah 22:22, which is a verse God gave me probably 25 years ago, that says we have keys, which symbolize authority, to open doors no one can close and close doors no one can open. And that's really been a verse that God has used in my life hundreds of times. And I've prayed that verse hundreds of times around the country. And it seems like anytime I'm on a very strategic assignment, somewhere along the way, he will show me a 22. I'll either be placed in room 222 in the hotel, just happened to me recently, or I'll wake up at 2:22 in the morning or glance at my phone clock in the afternoon, it'll say 2:22. It's just very common. God uses these things to speak to me, to encourage me, to remind me that we do have authority to open and close, bind and loose, and also to alert me at times that I really am on a significant assignment. So when my flight arrival time changed and they said it's now 2:22, I really felt the Lord was speaking to me about this, and didn't think too much more about it, just filed it away, but just thought, this is the Lord. This prayer journey is becoming more significant. That's the thought I had. I believe this is more significant than just a prayer for help at the court. But Holy Spirit wasn't finished speaking to me in this way, because as soon as I walked in my hotel room in D.C., a very trusted prophetic friend called me. Haven't heard from this man in several months. And he did not know that I was in Washington or going to Washington. But as he spoke to me, he also said to me, "It's no coincidence, the name of this hurricane, Isaias, and it means," he told me again, "Yahweh is our salvation." And he said, "I believe it is God speaking Isaiah 22:22 to you and to us, that we're to pray with great authority and open doors and closed doors. God is speaking through this hurricane." I said to him, "Did you know I'm in D.C.? I just got here." He said, "No, I had no idea." So he said, so this hurricane and you arriving is very significant. And he said, I believe it's Isaiah 22:22. And he said, I also believe it's Isaiah 45, which is a passage that many prophets have linked to President Trump. They believe it's Cyrus is a picture in history that we can look at and see what God wants to do and is doing through President Trump. So he said, I believe it's speaking, among other things, Isaiah 22:22 and Isaiah 45. And then when he heard that I was there, he said, you must go to the White House and pray Isaiah 22:22 over the president and release Yahweh's salvation to him, to the White House, and to our nation. So the prayer assignment immediately became more than the Supreme Court. Holy Spirit was obviously connecting it also to the White House and to the president. So I began to feel tremendous weight on this journey, these prayer times, as did those who were with me. So in response to this, we actually went that night and spent 3 hours outside across the street from the White House praying for the president, praying for our nation. We felt like we were led very specifically and strategically as we prayed for him. I'm not going to go into the details, but you can imagine that if we stayed there 3 hours, we must have really been feeling like we were tuning into some important things. And we certainly did. And we opened doors. We closed doors. We bound things the enemy has been doing, is doing, wants to do. We closed doors. We invited the presence of the Lord into the White House in a new way. And we believe our prayers were very strategic. We then took communion right there as a part of our intercession and asked God for his covenantal mercy to be released over our nation. Very, very meaningful prayer time. And then the following morning, August 5th, the anniversary of Farragut's decree, we went to pray at the Supreme Court. And we were sitting on the steps about to pray when a friend walked up to us, a friend who had no idea we were there, Matt Lockett. And this is very significant because Matt is the leader of the Justice House of Prayer in D.C., and his number one assignment is to pray for the court, the Supreme Court. He's been doing it daily with a team for, I think, 10 years or more. And because of the literally thousands of hours of prayer Matt has been a part of over the court, he just walks in a tremendous authority. And we knew it was absolutely no coincidence that we were about to move into this prayer assignment there at the court, initiated by the dream, this appeal for help. And a man whose number one assignment is to pray for the court and who probably has as much or more authority in that area as anyone in the nation walks up to us and says, hey guys, how you doing? It was amazing. So we talked and we visited, we shared the dream, and he shared what he's been sensing and feeling and his team. And then we prayed. We probably spent an hour and a half there, which was also amazing because normally they just won't allow you to do that. We could have gone down the sidewalk and prayed, but we were up on the side, a concrete area where you're just not allowed to go unless you're going to the court or leaving it. You can't gather there. And they never have allowed me before to sit with a group of people there on the steps and pray. But we did for an hour and a half. They just left us alone. Obviously, there weren't many people there because of the court is not open right now because of COVID. And maybe they just weren't quite as strict because there weren't many people around and there were only five of us. But it was really interesting that they left us alone and let us sit there. And of course, we're not loud. We're discreet. We're quiet. You would think we're just in conversation, but we're really praying. But it was a strong hour and a half of prayer. We prayed for God's strong hand to shift the ideology of the court. We've been praying that for years. Many of you have. And we continued our prayer. Lord, change the paradigms, the ideology, the philosophy. Change it by replacing left-leaning justices. Change it by influencing the legal philosophies of those who sit on it. We just really pressed into that. And then Holy Spirit brought a new meaning. And we felt strongly prophetic revelation regarding Farragut's phrase, damn the torpedoes. As we prayed, someone said, maybe God wants to literally damn torpedoes. We said torpedoes are hidden weapons under the surface, which have been, which are obviously deployed and to attack a ship. And so maybe this is literal. Maybe there are some things the enemy has done under the surface, behind the scenes, that God wants to deal with. So we looked up the meaning immediately. We looked up the meaning of the Greek word translated damn in the King James Bible. You know, verses like he that believeth not shall be damned. It's kind of an old way of using that word. But we looked it up and we found that the word is actually a legal judicial term. Now, here we are at the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, praying for a shift in its ideology and rulings that the majority will change. And we get the phrase, damn the torpedoes, and we look up the word and we find out it is a legal judicial term, which means to judge. We're praying for the judges, the justices. The word means to judge, condemn, or sentence. That we realized that this leading that one of us had, maybe he wants to damn torpedoes, was very accurate. That God was saying, I'm ready to judge and condemn some of the attacks, the hidden under the surface attacks of Satan against the court that has brought about unrighteousness and unholy decisions in this nation. So we prayed, and while did we pray with a lot of faith and authority, because we knew we were being led by the Lord. We judged and condemned in Jesus' name the torpedoing of the Supreme Court. We bound Satan's plans, schemes, influences. And again, we just felt such faith and such a strength on it. We know, of course, that there have been thousands and thousands of prayers for the court, and that we're just a part of a process. That it's not about us. But we also were feeling like we are coming to a season where the shift can occur, and all the prayers have made a huge difference. And now God was saying to us, I need you to go and make these decrees. I'm ready to do this. And sometimes you go and you plow, and then sometimes you go and you're to be part of a breakthrough prayer. And that's what we were feeling. Then Holy Spirit reminded us of the change in my arrival time into DC from 229. It was rolled back to 222. And we felt that Holy Spirit was saying to us that this was more than just a reminder that we have authority and more than just an encouragement to remember that, but that Holy Spirit was literally saying, I want to roll back time, as it were, reversing decisions made in the past by the court. We felt he was saying, we can now see unrighteous, unbiblical, and unconstitutional decisions made by the court reversed, rolling back time, as it were, going back and reversing what they did in the past through Isaiah 22:22 authority. It was so amazing as this revelation dropped in us. We realized we are moving into a season where God was saying and is saying to us, I am now able, because of prayer, because of what's happening in the nation, because of a lot of things that have had to come together at the right time, the right person in office, the right people controlling the Senate, people in the church praying, you have come to a time where I'm ready to pass judgment on and condemn these decisions, and you can roll back time and see these things change. We prayed this, very powerful, very anointed decrees. And then, just as we did at the White House, we took communion, sitting there on the steps, appealing for God's covenantal mercy to be poured out over America. It was an amazing, amazing prayer time. This was an amazing journey. And I'm sharing it to you, encourage you, because you hear so much negative. There's so much on the news that's negative. There's so much unrest. There's so much that we hear that could be very discouraging. But I want you to know your prayers are making a difference. We are winning the war in the Spirit. And that's where we have to win it first, through our prayers. And so I want to encourage you, but I also then want to exhort you that this is a season where we must really pick up the strategy, the burden, the desire. We have to engage again in prayer for the court. Hey, we're under attack. We need your help, is what the justice said. And so, and then these words, hey, you can roll back time now. You can see these torpedoes damned, judged, condemned. And I'm saying to the praying church, this is the hour. We need to pick this up again, and we need to persevere. We need to do it for two reasons. We need to do it because it's time. It's an opportune time for breakthrough. We also need to do it because this election is so incredibly significant. The election's coming up this November. If we don't have a president that will appoint more, because, by the way, I believe the next president will appoint one, maybe two, or even three more Supreme Court justices. And the court right now is at a 5-4 usually decision. And sometimes that decision goes toward conservative values and what I would consider constitutional decisions, biblically based decisions toward things that would honor God and His word. Sometimes the decisions go to the left, 5-4. So we're in this perilous place right now where some we win, some we lose, just like the marriage issue where marriage was redefined by the court. And so we're in this balance right now. But if whoever appoints these next one or two judges, this balance is going to be tipped their way, either to the left or to the right. There will not be a stalemate. Someone now is going to tip this to their direction, and it'll be I guarantee you, it will be a younger justice. I mean, relatively speaking, probably, you know, late 40s, so that they can be in there for 30, 40 years. So in other words, the next president, either President Trump or Joe Biden, as it looks now, I mean, it's obviously down to these two nominees from the Democrat Republican Party. One of them will make one or more appointments to the Supreme Court, which will tip it either to the left or to the right for 30 to 40 years. Now, we've just made way too much progress in our prayers to allow a 30 to 40 year setback. We've already seen 60 million babies aborted. And, you know, that's just unthinkable. 60 million. We've seen, I mean, I just can't think of a more hideous evil than the blood of 60 million aborted babies on in the soil of this land. I just can't imagine anything any worse. We can't let that continue. We just can't. We have to see that decision, that torpedo damned. We have to see it condemned and judged and reversed. We have to have that rolled back. But the court removed God's influence from government, from our schools. They redefined marriage, and they continue to make decisions that are just wrong. You know, I mean, girls now have to let boys shower with them in schools if all the guys do say, "I'm a girl today." I mean, this thing has gotten crazy. And we've reaped so much from this: the violence, the crime, the poverty, disease, family decay, addiction, and other things that are wrong in our nation are no doubt a result of the evil that the court has brought on us. In fact, no other entity, I'm confident of this, no other entity has opened the door to more devastation and destruction in America than the Supreme Court. Most people in America don't think much about the court until there's a major decision they care about. But no group of people has opened the door to more devastation, destruction, and I'll add antichrist, unbiblical beliefs into our nation. No group has done that more than the Supreme Court. And we're still trying to turn this. And God says, you can do it now. You can see these decisions reversed. I'm ready to roll these things back. So we must pray for that to take place. And one of the ways we must pray is just the elections. We have to just pray diligently and say, God, give us your choice for president, one who will appoint pro-constitutional justices and judges around the country, one who will appoint pro-life judges and justices. We must pray for the Senate, because the Senate confirms the judges, and we have to pray that there will be a president that appoints the appropriate judges and a Senate that will confirm them. And again, we must have that for the next 4 years. During those 4 years, we can turn the court. I want to say it again. Over these next 4 years, we can turn the court, and in a major way, the federal judges of this nation. So as we vote and pray in this November, no decision made in our lifetime will be more consequential than this one. And if you've ever voted, you need to vote in this election, and you need to vote your biblical values. You don't vote party. I'm not controlled by a political spirit. You vote for life. You vote for righteousness. You vote for constitutional judge that'll interpret it, not make laws. But I tell you, there is no issue, period. There is no issue more important than life, pro-life, the abortion issue. Second is probably the marriage issue. And it is unthinkable that a Christian would vote for a person to become president of the United States that is pro-abortion. Absolutely unconscionable that we would do that. We must vote for life. Vote your conscience, biblical conscience and biblical values, and pray. Pray like never before. Don't let a day go by that you don't say, Lord, I'm asking you to shift the courts. I'm asking you to change the Supreme Court and give us a godly, pro-life, pro-constitutional Supreme Court. And ask him to roll back time and give us justices that will reverse some of these ungodly decisions. We can get this now, and I believe we will. So I'm asking you to pray for those two things. Pray for God's choice of president and senators, and go ahead and throw in Congress, the House, if you want. That's great too. But ask for God's choice as president and in the Senate, and a completion of the shifting of the Supreme Court back toward life and true morality, and a court that would honor our Judeo-Christian ethics and beliefs and founding. We just have to have it. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now, and I would love for you to just agree in prayer with me, and I would love for you to make a decision as you have listened and continue to listen, and as we pray, that you're just going to daily, every day, you're going to cry out to the Lord and say, God, we ask for your person to be put in office and the government of this land as president in the Senate. We ask for your will to be done. Whatever you have to do to orchestrate this, give us your choice. And I'm asking you to mention the Supreme Court in prayer every single day. Lord, we come to you now, and we thank you for what you have been doing in this nation. We see the enemy at work, and we know that he is warring and fighting to steal our destiny. He is warring for the soul of this nation. There are two distinct groups that want very different things. We want biblical values. We want your destiny to prevail in this nation, to be a light, to be a voice for the gospel. Lord, we know you raised up this nation and you created the United States of America. And you created it for your purposes. And we know that's being warred against. But we are part of a company that has been asking you for mercy, that has been repenting and asking you to cleanse and heal our land. And we believe you're going to do that. We believe you're going to do it in part through a third great awakening, a revival of unprecedented proportions, a pouring out of Holy Spirit on this nation that will be unlike anything the earth has ever seen, and that it will also happen in many other nations around the world. Lord, we thank you for that. As a part of your turning, we know that government matters. Righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a disgrace. And you said, Lord, when the righteous rule, there's peace, there's harmony, the people rejoice. Government is critical. Righteous government is critical. So we're asking you, Lord, to change the Supreme Court of the United States. We are responding to the dream. Our positions are being overrun. And Lord, we know that's been true. We know there have been torpedoes that have shaped the court, that have caused unrighteous rulings to be released, that have been devastating. But Lord, we are standing on what you showed us that day, that you're ready to roll back time, that with Isaiah 22:22 authority, Matthew 16 authority, we have authority to bind and loose, to open doors and close doors. We close the doors now to those torpedoes, to unrighteous, humanistic, antichrist, unbiblical, pro-death decisions, pro-immorality decisions, decisions that are unrighteous and that are not your will. We close the door to those and we open the door to reversal. We say, Lord, we believe fully that your kingdom rule is coming to that court and you're going to shift it. You're going to remove people. You're going to change viewpoints. We don't know. We don't tell you how to do it. We just know you're going to do those things. We're not praying against any person. We are praying against the powers of darkness that control things there, have controlled things there, and ideologies. And we're asking you to change that court in whatever way you deem appropriate and necessary. And we're asking you to roll back time and reverse these decisions. And Lord, we're asking you for your kingdom rule over these elections. We know the enemy is working in intense and incredibly strong ways to influence our nation right now. But Lord, we say your kingdom will rule over his plans and strategies. We bind every attempt to put the wrong person in office as president of the United States. We bind every attempt to put the wrong senators in place and give the majority to the wrong party. Lord, we pray, as you said, your kingdom come, your will be done. We command your kingdom rule and will into the earth, as you said to do, in Jesus' name. Well, Lord, we thank you for this. You spoke to us several years ago now in front of the White House when we were there praying, and you spoke mercy over our nation, that you're bringing mercy, not judgment. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And I thank you that in this election, you will bring your mercy to us, not your judgment. And you will bring a merciful revival as well. Lord, I thank you for these things. I do pray for our President Trump, that you will lead him during this time. I pray that you bring this encounter that so many of us have seen and believe is coming to him, that he is going to have a profound encounter with you that is going to radically change and alter his life. I believe his heart is toward you, But Lord, we want more than just a God-fearing man. We want a person in leading the nation that has had a true conversion. We don't know if that's happened yet with him. I don't know his spiritual condition, but Lord, I'm asking you for an encounter that is profound and powerful in his life, that he would be saved and filled with your Spirit, that he would take on more and more your heart, your passions, your beliefs, and your desires for this nation. I pray that he would be surrounded with people that would speak wisdom and truth to him. I pray that there would be no compromise in him. I pray that you would cleanse him, Lord, from anything that could hold him back. I believe he has been, he's repented and been forgiven and cleansed from much that he did in his early, up until the last few years of his life. But I believe he has repented and asked you for your forgiveness. I believe it's happened. But Lord, we want more. We want him to be radically filled with your Spirit and led by you. So we're asking these things, and we believe you're going to do it. And Lord, I'm asking you for the court, that the next justice that steps onto that court would be a passionate, God-honoring believer in Jesus who would seek your face and want what you want for this nation. And we believe you're going to do these things, Lord. We trust you 100%. And we're in agreement for it, Lord. I'm agreeing with thousands of people right now. We agree that you're turning this nation back to you and that we're going to tap into again our destiny and the purpose you have for this nation. So we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I bless you all. I appreciate you taking the time to listen and to pray with me. Please continue to do so. We are winning this war. Do not be discouraged and deceived about what you see in the natural. We are winning this war in the Spirit. And we're going to see this nation turn, and we're going to see revival. Hang on to that. Don't you dare grow weary in well-doing. Don't lose heart. Don't give up in your faith, and don't waver. We are winning this spiritual war for the soul of America. God is going to turn this nation. We're going to see the greatest harvest we've ever seen, greatest revival. Don't give up. Stay strong in your faith. I bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Dutch Sheets Ministries. If you would like more information about us, or if you've been impacted by this podcast and would like to sow into the ministry, please visit our website at dutchsheets.org.